Hello, everyone, and happy Chinese New Year for those of you who are celebrating, and for those of you who are not, well, what's not to like?
恭喜发财, as
yes,
they say. Yeah.
It's the year of the snake. Are you celebrating it? You
know, in a big I'm way? Just celebrating it like I normally would any other animal year.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
is
do you
it
do?
Significant having the year
no,
of the snake?
No, do you guys buy like those snake things, you know, where...
I don't like snakes.
Okay.
Right? Don't you find it a bit scary and
yes,
creepy?
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm a rat, and snakes eat rats, right?
Okay.
So generally a bad idea.
Okay, so zodiac animals aside, today we're talking about real animals.
We are indeed.
Yeah,
because,
we're talking about cats, what? Dogs, hamsters, terrapins. We're both dog owners.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think our dogs are quite lucky.
We do take care of animals, but not all pets are so lucky because we often hear stories of how some end up really badly treated. Some even die from abuse and neglect. In fact, the latest SPCA data shows that this has been increasing and it was at its highest in 2024.
That's right. So we want to find out why. What's behind this, right?
Maybe I'll start with you, Sabrina, because reading the report on the latest in animal cruelty, it's got some tough pictures and examples that are a bit graphic, you know, it's a bit hard to take in. From cats thrown down 30 floors, dogs beaten to death, even a case of a young boy who put his hamsters in the freezer because he said it bit them.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so start off by giving us the hard facts. I mean, when we talk about how bad it is, if you look at the trend, I mean, is this really the highest we've seen in the past decade, and are we expecting it to get even worse?
Well, it is the highest in the past 12 years based on the data we have. We certainly hope it won't get worse, but the way things are going, it looks like it will not get any better in the immediate future, and there are several reasons for that which I can share.
Right, tell us what's the main reason.
We do think that it is partly legislation and also partly education. Because right now the laws that protect our animals, unfortunately, they aren't as strict as we would like them to be. So there is that lack of deterrent factor. Even if a case manages to reach prosecution, which is fairly uncommon in animal welfare because there simply is no evidence to be uncovered unless someone witnesses the incident.
Abuse or has pictures or videos, and then they send to you guys?
Yes, and to AVS as well. And then for wildlife cases, they do send it to ACRES. So animals are really our voiceless victims. They cannot speak, they cannot testify for themselves. So if there is no eyewitness or no CCTV footage, then unfortunately, you cannot proceed with investigations and you hit a roadblock.
Okay.
But for the cases that go
on. One would argue that is the case for most legislation, right? I mean, so
to take anything to court actually is a very long and arduous process, whether it's animals or even people, right?
In what way do you say legislation is not strong enough? Is the reason why we're seeing so many cases?
The penalties.
Okay.
So, for example, if a pet owner fails in duty of care, then the penalty is a $10,000 fine and or an imprisonment of up to 12 months, if I'm not wrong.
But is that really going to fix anything? I mean, it's just regulation. And I think that's the last resort. Maybe, Samantha, do you notice, are there more people buying your cats these days? Have you seen the numbers going up? And is there any way for you to sort of vet and say, hey, maybe you shouldn't get a cat, you know?
Yeah, so since COVID, there's definitely been a strong surge in demand in pet ownership. So we, during the COVID period, like we would get like 10, 20 forms a day asking like, oh, you know, we would love to purchase a chubby buddy cat. How do I go about it? We do pre-screen our owners. So, and then we insist on meeting them first before we sell them a cat. And so that at least, you know, we talk about like, oh, you know, what's needed in the care of a cat, you know, and basic welfare needs, you know, like we talk about like, you know, a pet is for life, you know, you cannot just abandon the cat. So like we have a take back policy. Like if you ever not want the cat, we will just take it back. No questions asked.
Oh, really?
Because I feel like
What kind of questions do you ask? Do you say, okay, what kind of hours do you work? Do you have a place for the cat?
Yeah, how do you vet them?
What if you're impatient, right, Steve?
So we, okay, a lot of it is vibe as well, but like whether they are willing to answer the questions.
Ah.
You know, so we ask them questions like, okay, how long are your working hours? So, and then let's say if you travel for work,
yes,
what are your arrangements? Are you going to send them to boarding, or do you have a friend who will come over? Are you willing to hire a pet sitter?
Mm.
You know, like, okay, they can't be left alone, you know, for like long periods of time, you know. They, even if like someone does basic care, they still have emotional needs as well.
Mm.
Then we ask them things like, oh, are you mentally prepared for vet bills? Because, you know, vet bills in Singapore are high.
Yeah.
You know, and like a basic vet check nowadays, minimally, I would say it's $200 to $300. And then like the minute you do a blood test, you are looking at $600.
Yep. Okay, so you're saying that there is an increase in people who want pets.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's the problem? Why is it that the welfare cases, poor welfare cases are up, cruelty is up? So is it because people walk in, they see a cute cat and a cute dog, they buy, and then they realize, ah, bad mistake.
People don't do enough research before they purchase, and now there's a lot of social media influence. So a lot of people tell me like, oh, I would love for the pet to be a petfluencer. You know,
what?
You know, they want to have some social media influence, you know, with the animals, and
right,
it is increasingly that people sponsor products, you know, and there's a lot of paid sponsorship nowadays as compared to last time.
For a petfluencer.
Yes, yes, yes.
You should tell them no, you need to put a pause on it. Out of the every 10 people or 10 potential clients, how many have like changed their mind? Or
I would say 50%.
Wow.
Yeah, it is high. We do ask a lot of questions, you know.
Yeah.
And I think like for us, it's difficult as compared to a normal pet shop where you can just walk in, buy. And honestly, people don't really like the salespeople don't really ask that many questions. And
yeah, of course.
I feel like another issue for abandonment is because there's no accountability for the salespeople. As in, they can say anything they want when they sell. Like, you know, we tell you
absolutely,
like, you know, this is a low shedding breed. But in reality, it's a very high shedding breed.
So this is what I was going to get to, the supply side of things, right? I mean, I admit that's how I got my dog. I just walked into a Pasir Ris kennel.
Wow, so cute. Like, can I get one?
Yeah, he was so cute.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to get him. Yeah, and nobody asked me any of those questions.
No counselling.
Tell me, you know, a little bit more about this difficulty that you guys face when it comes to, you know, how do you really check for, you know, welfare?
For SPCA, usually we get reports from members of the public. So we have concerned neighbours who notice that maybe another flat owner has not been returning to the home, or there is a smell coming from the home that suggests, yes, there is some form of neglect, or someone notices that a cat has fallen from height and then they see that, you know, the windows are not meshed. So a lot of these welfare cases, we rely on members of the public to bring them to attention. But on the topic of pedigree pets, abandoned pedigree pets in their senior age are fairly common.
One issue is, where should I leave a pet when they're older? And I guess people don't know, right?
No, so it's not. It's not where to leave. They basically give up the ownership because it's too sick.
So is that, yeah, costly. And they may can't afford to take care of the pet.
Yeah.
So would they come to someone like you, SPCA?
Technically, yes, because the SPCA is a shelter for animals in need. But if you think about it, there is a limit to how many shelters you can build. And if, let's say, we have infinite number of spaces in the shelter, that would just encourage people to not think too carefully about the commitment at the beginning.
I think it's obvious. People don't think through the entire process and they don't treat an animal like they would a human being or a child.
How do you, you know, reduce this is, you know, people walking in, buying animals, and then treating them not like a life worth, you know, care and concern, love, etc.
Should we have a mandatory vetting process? Meet certain criteria before you're allowed to have a pet?
I believe we should. The SPCA does have it, but I think it's difficult to mandate it like in a standardized way across the different
industries. For shops,
industries.
Because their main motive is profit, right?
Correct.
But so, you can still have very basic, as in you must meet certain criteria before you're allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, your dogs, yeah, supposed to have to be licensed. Does that have anything to do with it?
Does that help, licensing?
Licensing is one, but whether you are licensing based on minimum standards or the best practices in animal welfare, that will help.
Licensing helps in the sense that it helps with traceability.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, cat licensing is new, you know, but...
Yeah, just like, came on board.
Yes,
right.
But a lot of people ask, like, do I really think it helps? And my view is that it's better than nothing. And at least AVS is trying to do something, you know. And I feel like a lot of people blame the government, you know, like, oh, you know, they are not doing enough.
Yeah.
But I think people have to realize that, you know, they also have limits and we need to help ourselves.
Yeah.
And while the government can definitely do more, it needs to be like a multi-pronged approach from welfare groups, resellers, breeders, and clients as well.
Mm.
And like, okay, so a very common issue now is people buying smuggled animals.
Mm.
So a lot of people purchase the animals that are smuggled from Malaysia. And these are where the high abandonment comes, because these animals have 1 million problems. And people are scared to go to the vet. Because
illegal,
what
right?
If, what if the vet reports me, you know? And because like the microchip can't be traced, you know?
That's right.
Then a lot of them have contagious diseases. So even if the vet doesn't report, the bill is too high, because the people who buy are the people who are looking for a cheap deal, right?
Yes.
At least with the licensing, it kind of like deters people from, you know, like there's attempting a little bit of a barrier of entry, you know.
It doesn't fully solve this problem.
I think nothing will fully solve the problem.
Of course,
And when you talk about illegal pets, to be fair, I mean, most people do not. That is obviously illegal. Government is trying to clamp down. The customs do clamp down on that.
It's actually quite commonly promoted on like Xiaohongshu and Telegram. So people can just buy through these channels. And I would say like most Singaporeans, of course, they don't do it. But like a good thing now is that prosecution is trying to lean towards that. They are prosecuting the buyers as well.
Yes.
It's a new thing. So I think that's great. A great move from you know, ABS, because to me, it's at least there is improvement from, let's say, 10 years ago. It's not, we are not stagnant.
So recently, there was this quite terrible case of a poodle, right? Boy. He was in your report. So the domestic helper who actually, you know, beat him and hung him up and was taken to task, right? But the employers were not or haven't yet been prosecuted.
Haven't yet, yeah.
So when I take my dog for walks, I notice the majority of people walking dogs are domestic helpers. Right. So do you find this to be common, where sure, people buy pets and then they leave it to their domestic helpers to sort of do, you know, the
cleaning,
the cleaning,
caring,
and the
feeding, washing,
those kinds of things,
and taking them for a walk,
but without really educating them?
Who should be taken to task? The abuser or the owner? Right, so that is a question.
That's a good question.
Right?
You could look at it both ways. So the abuser would be the person who inflicts the harm on the pet. And your owner, who is the one whom the dog is licensed to and who first brought the dog under their care, is actually responsible in terms of duty of care.
Yeah.
So by carrying off the pet to someone else without carefully explaining what the pet needs, then you do need to take some ownership and accountability for the dereliction of duty if something were to happen.
So that's important. What about you? What do you think?
Definitely the owner needs to take some responsibility as well, because the owner is the guardian of the animal, and so you cannot just, you know, throw everything to the helper, because at the end of the day, the helper did not sign up for the pet, you know. Like when we buy the animal and we bring it home, did we ask our helpers, can I get a dog? Is it okay if you want to take on this added responsibility?
That's true.
If you tell them like, oh, I want to get a dog, you know, if they are given a choice, of course they'll say no. Why would I want extra work? Yeah, I already have to clean the house. Now I have to that extra burden, right? So I think, like, while helpers can help, the owners should definitely take majority of the responsibility.
What about general education? So I ask this because, you know, I notice some dogs in my place don't get walked a lot. And they're big guys, you know, so they need a lot of, you know, to expend their energy, but they're not caged, as it were, but they don't get time out. They're always in the house. To me, that's
a bit cruel also.
It's a bit cruel, right?
But what can we
do
about
it? I can't do anything about it, right? I mean, I could tell them that their dog needs to be walked, but...
In a way, then you're saying there needs to be some kind of a... People need to understand what are
the
needs of animals. So, certain basic needs, like, and that comes back to the process if you're vetting, to say, hey, this is what you need to do with the dog every week.
It's not foolproof, though.
It's not foolproof, but at least if I tell you and you say, yeah, I agree, and we are both on the same understanding, I think that is the first step. Because now, I just walk into a shop like you did and say, hey, I want a so cute, let me have that guy. Yeah, okay, here you go.
What would you guys think need to get better? Essentially, if it was up to you, what would you change?
Well, I would say that we always talk about legislation and education, right? But to me, the problem goes deeper. So if you look at all our animal victims out there in terms of cruelty and neglect, I would say all of them are innocent. So none of our animal victims are actually guilty. So where did the problem start? It actually begins with us. So it has to end with us too. And for pet owners, we choose to bring these animals into our home. Mm. But it is up to us, like maybe one day we decide we don't want to take care of them, and then we either abandon them or give them up into a less ideal place.
Yep.
So we are at fault. And then in terms of our interactions with wildlife and community animals, we have actually encroached into their living spaces over time by building more and more buildings. So we bring them into closer proximity to us. And because of that, people feel that they experience inconvenience, like they don't like wildlife nearby, they see snakes, they see cats, and then they feel that it is then their prerogative to, you know, be cruel to these animals.
To get rid of them.
Yes,
so to speak.
Correct. So the problem actually begins with us. So I think the solution also rests with us, and we need to go deeper and start to realize that these are animals who have, you know, sentience.
Okay. Yeah.
Sentient beings.
We may not be able to interpret it, but they nonetheless do show signs that they feel fear, happiness, comfort.
For me, I feel that in an ideal world, I would love to remove the middle person, the reseller. You know, because I feel that now there's very little barrier of entry for anyone to just say, I want to open a pet shop tomorrow.
Yep.
But actually, what knowledge do you have to open this pet shop?
Mm.
And like, let's say for our industry, the way to go is that you just have to make an application with ABS. You have to go for a Temasek Poly course, and then you have to pass a very basic interview. But actually, right, they don't mandate, right, that you need to, let's say, do this course before you even open your shop. So let's say for food, right, F&B, you need to do the food safety course before you start operating.
That's right.
But ABS gives you a leeway. So you have 6 months to a year. But by then you would have opened already, right?
Isn't it
too late then? So I feel like, and to me, it's like, what does a reseller, a middle person, actually know about the animal, which is we are just a passing stop? It's very hard for them to be able to like match the right animal with the right owner. Which I feel that is another reason why we have a lot of welfare issues. Because people think that, this is going to be... Because they see social media. And like, everyone on social media is an angelic pet. You never see the devils, right? And so, when you know, and in the end, the expectations don't meet reality. And that's when all the problems come. Because that's when they consider abandonment. They consider rehoming. That's where they start to lose interest, and that's where the neglect in the welfare comes about.
Yeah, that's a bit tough to do, though. Mm. I would say. I mean, it does make, because it's a business, right?
Yes, at the end of the day. I think there should at least be some like higher standards.
I still go back to the mandatory so-called counselling session to say, don't call it vetting, but just to say you must, you know, spend this 20 minutes with the potential customer to go through a list of things that could happen. Then at least there's some awareness.
No, I think the best thing is to show them a $20,000 vet bill.
Mm. Ah, wow.
I think then they will say, okay, next time.
Right, then they'll change profession. Like, I want to be a vet.
They might want to get a hamster instead. Yeah. I don't know.
The hamster bills are the worst.
Oh.
Worse than dogs.
Really?
Yes. The hamster, because like we don't have that many exotic vets and specialists. Yeah. So there's only mainly one emergency vet that can do small animals. So the bill is honestly double the dogs.
Yikes.
Because dogs, at least you have options.
Okay.
So a lot of myths surrounding pets and whether they're easy to take care of, they're actually not.
Yeah, and like rabbits, you know, when they go into GI status, they die within 12 hours. So you need to, like, the neglect is really there because you need to step in very quickly to save them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, like now the popular thing is medical boarding because owners can't deal with the care required for a small animal.
Mm.
Because like for rabbits, example, like when they go to GI, they need to be force fed every 2 hours.
Oh,
if not, like once the gut stops moving,
what's
they basically
GI?
Die. It's like,
gastrointestinal.
Yes.
Oh,
and
disease.
Like the intestines stop moving.
Oh.
So because of that, they
get
like.
It's quite
blockage.
Common with rabbits.
Very common with small animals.
Okay,
so
please take note. Common with rabbits, don't get rabbits.
Yes, yes. Actually, the vet bill for small animals, people think it's easy. People think it's like, small animal, how much can it cost, right? But it's like, you know, small animals, you need special equipment to do any form of surgery. So only certain clinics can do it. And then, so like there are some clinics that charge more for small animal consults.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in. And
thank you.
Thanks to all of you who are listening in. Do let us know any comments you might have and hope you're enjoying your Lunar New Year.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And thanks to my team, Junaini Johari, Tiffany Ang, Sai Ye Win, Joanne Chan, and Hanida Amin. See you next week. Sabrina is wearing an SPCA t-shirt, which is very cute. It's got cats.
Yes, these
and
are the
dogs.
For dogs, we call them Singapore specials. And
why do they call Singapore special? Because they're only found in Singapore.
Yes. Mm,
they're all local breeds. Yeah. Cats also. So we call them Singapore Sayangs.
Singapore Sayangs, so
didn't
cute.
Know that.
I know, the kuching, right?
Kuching, yes, kuching.
Yeah. They are very pretty.